Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. At this time, we would like to dismiss our children for Children's Church. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Hear now the word of our Lord. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown. His disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach at the synagogue. Many who heard him were surprised. Where did this man get all this? What's this wisdom he's been given? What about the powerful acts accomplished through him? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't he Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? They were repulsed by him and fell into sin. Jesus said to them, "Prophets are honored everywhere except in their own hometowns, among their relatives, and in their own households." He was unable to do any miracles there except that he placed his hands on a few sick people and healed them. He was appalled by their disbelief. Then Jesus traveled through the surrounding villages teaching. He called for the 12 and sent them out in pairs. He gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey except a walking stick, no bread, no bags, and no money in their belts. He told them to wear sandals, but not to put on two shirts. He said, "Whatever house you enter, remain there until you leave that place. If a place doesn't welcome you or listen to you, as you leave, shake the dust off your feet as a witness against them." So they went out and proclaimed that people should change their hearts and lives. They cast out many demons and they anointed many sick people with olive oil and healed them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Lord, we thank you again for this day, for all that you've given to us, for the opportunity we've had to celebrate this day. We thank you for the reading and the hearing of this, your word. We ask that you would be with the words you have given me. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, our minds to understand. And may we go and do that which you have called us to do with the strength that you have given us. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have experienced God's goodness today. We have received Reverend Joe Cox as our new Associate Minister of Youth and Discipleship. We have celebrated the baptisms of Ethan and William. We've reminded ourselves of the great responsibility we have towards our children, youth, and vulnerable adults, and we praise God that we have children, youth, and vulnerable adults to minister to and with in this place. There is much to celebrate. There is much to give thanks to God for. He has done and continues to do a good and mighty thing in our midst. He has called us and continues to call us to do some amazing things. And for that, we celebrate. Today's passage here in Mark's gospel reminds us that as Christians, we are received and we are sent. We come and we go. We are called to go to those who are in need, and we are called to receive those same persons who are in need, who come to us and who God brings to us by his various ways of doing so. And I ask us this morning, are we ready to receive what God has for us? Are we ready to receive who God has placed in our path? Are we ready to go? And when we go, are we ready to do so in peace? We see here, very interestingly, that Jesus' hometown was not ready to receive him. He knew, and he reminds us and his disciples here in verse 4, that prophets are honored everywhere except at home. Because when you go home, people know you. I don't get any honor at home, I can tell you that. Just kidding. A little. Especially when I wear my robe and stole. They really honor me then. The problem here was that Jesus was too familiar with these people. And that's kind of interesting. They knew his mother. They knew his brothers. They knew his sisters. We even have a roll call of some of his brothers that they name. And it's kind of odd, I think, this morning for us to think that we could be too familiar with Jesus. That seems a little strange, doesn't it? Yet how often does this happen? How many of us this morning, if we will readily admit, have been a little maybe too familiar with Jesus, and maybe we've taken him for granted a time or two? Okay, there's three of us. Oh, there's more. Okay, good. Yeah. There's a few of us. We often tend to take Jesus for granted, especially when things are going well. When things are going well, life is good. Jesus will see you at the next catastrophe, and you know, thanks for being here, right? We know. We sing songs, we read scripture, and it tells us that Jesus will never leave us, he will never forsake us. And so often that almost maybe gives us a license to kind of do what we need to do and call on him when we need to call on him, to kind of ignore him, knowing that he's always there. And then all of a sudden, he speaks up. And we get upset. It says the people here were repulsed by him. Now, I'm not going to lie. There have been times I've been repulsed by Jesus because he's called me into something that I didn't want to do. He's brought the mirror over to me and held it in front of my face. And it's repulsive. I didn't get an amen on that. Thank you, Lord. I was worried about that one. Just like these people in his hometown, from time to time he repulses us and he angers us, he upsets us, because he loves everybody regardless. And we have so many strict standards for the love that we give, as if it's some rare commodity that we cannot just give to everybody. And it's in Christ's love for us that he calls us to go, even when we're repulsed by who or where he might send us. We cry out for miracles. We wish he would just show us one more sign, yet we fail to recognize that it's our own lack of faith that keeps Jesus at bay. Jesus was appalled by their unbelief, and he was unable to minister, except that he was able to heal a few. How many of us this morning have cried out to Jesus for a miracle, for a healing, for something, and it hasn't happened, and we begin to wonder why, and we start to blame Jesus, but we only call on him when we need it. We don't stay with him as often as we should. Because when we do that, we begin to see why he says no sometimes. And it makes sense to us because we begin to see things through the kingdom perspective rather than through our own limited perspectives. You see, Jesus can only heal when we believe. And sometimes that healing is simply a matter of us changing our perspective and saying, you know what, this isn't the type of healing that's necessary. God has better plans in store. It's our belief that grants Jesus the authority to work in our lives. If you can't find Jesus, if you have a hard time hearing him, it's because you have forgotten how to believe. Jesus' disciples here serve as good examples for us, which is kind of rare in the Gospels. They believe. And in their belief, they are given authority over unclean spirits, and they are given authority to proclaim the gospel of repentance, we see in verse 7. Today we recognize the authority that Christ and the church have given to Joe to serve as our associate minister of youth and discipleship. We affirm your call today, and we are grateful for the opportunity to serve alongside you in this role. In like fashion, we have affirmed Ethan and William's authority to serve as ministers in the world through their baptism, just as we have been called to serve in our own. They have heard the call of Jesus Christ. They have received his love, his grace, and his salvation. And now, as we have promised through our liturgy, we are to come alongside them, to instruct them, to teach them, and to learn from them. It's my prayer today that we all take the authority that has been given to us at our baptisms and to go into the world sharing the peace of Jesus Christ, remembering always that we are baptized children of God. And when we go, we have his authority to do so. I pray today that we will never take Jesus for granted, but we will approach him as these young men have today. William and Ethan, they were so excited. I hope they're still excited about today and about their lives and about what God wants to do and will continue to do with them. I pray that their joy will rub off on some of us. I pray that we will see the joy of Jesus in all of the children, youth, and vulnerable adults that come our way. That as we greet one another, as we fellowship with one another, as we worship, as we see each other around town, that we will be filled with joy at each other's presence. I pray that we go where Jesus sends us so that people may be healed, so that lives may be saved, and so that grace may be given as we have claimed through Jesus Christ ourselves. And above all, I pray this morning that Jesus will never be appalled by our unbelief. I pray from this day forward that I will no longer be repulsed by Christ when he comes and speaks to me, but that I will see him as he is, that I will recognize what he is calling me to do, and that I will go and do that which he has called me to do. And I pray that same prayer for you. I pray that Jesus is encouraged by our willingness to receive others, all others, wherever they may be, and that as we go from this place, we go and we bring the peace of Christ to those that we encounter. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day, for your love and for your grace, for all that you do for us. We hope and pray that we will never be too familiar with you, but that we will recognize you as Lord and Savior, that we will rejoice in your call, and that you will continue to encourage us in our walk. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.